Barcelona will stop renewing licenses for its roughly 10,100 entire tourist apartments and phase them out by November 2028. Welcome to Debug the Hype. I'm Alex Morgan, and this show is not affiliated with Reddit or any subreddit. Today is August 19th, 2026. That decision in Barcelona gives us a neat entry to issues we'll unpack: housing markets, systemic risk in your savings, and how militaries and markets are reconfiguring for new realities. Barcelona is moving to shrink its short-term rental stock by letting licenses lapse for about 10,100 whole apartment tourist units, a plan the city says will be complete by November 2028 after Spain's constitutional court cleared the route last year. The move targets entire licensed tourist flats. Hotels, guest houses, and stays of 32 nights or more are still allowed, and officials argue more than 3,500 units have already returned to the long-term market. Watch this, because it will push some demand back to hotels and test whether stricter rules actually ease local rents or just reroute tourism. President Trump announced a three-day pause to a planned 50% U.S. tariff on roughly $20 billion of Canadian exports, invoking a pause under Section 338 of the Tariff Act and saying talks produced a deal pending final paperwork. Ottawa has called the negotiations substantial progress, while the White House hinted the deal covers market access, digital trade, and security clauses. Keep an eye on this because a short pause is useful political cover, but the unpredictability alone is already forcing companies to hedge supply chains.
PJM Interconnection, the grid operator serving 67 million people across 13 U.S. states and D.C., has asked regulators to let it curtail power to new data centers over 50 megawatts during shortages unless those sites bring their own generation by June 1, 2027. The proposal would set up a registry and give partial compensation tied to penalty rates, but it would let utilities prioritize households ahead of new hyperscale loads. This matters because it shifts a debate from how much demand exists to who pays for a reliable capacity. Local communities may see benefits, and big cloud customers will face tougher requirements. The European Central Bank's research team just put a red flag on the table that should make anyone with an index fund or a pension look twice. Euro area households hold roughly 440 billion euros of exposure to the so-called Magnificent Seven U.S. tech giants, and ECB researchers say the AI-led rally in that narrow group creates a real risk of a correction. That sentence is blunt because the ECB doesn't couch this as abstract market talk. Their note ties the worry to the concentrated way many European savers get market exposure, largely through passive funds and pension products that overweight a handful of winners. The researchers are careful with timing. They say the exact timing of any correction is unknowable in advance, but they also point out the mechanics that make a correction dangerous now. Sky-high expectations price in near-perfect technological progress, household portfolios are heavily correlated, and policymakers have less ammunition than in past busts because interest rates are not as easy to cut and fiscal buffers are thinner.
Here's the practical sequence to worry about: a disappointment, earnings slightly below those stretched forecasts, a supply chain hiccup, or a regulatory setback leads to portfolio redemptions. Because so many funds mirror the same indices, redemptions can force widespread selling by large passive vehicles, which pushes prices down more sharply than if exposure were broadly diversified. That drop feeds through into pension valuations and into non-bank financial links. Pension funds, insurers, and leveraged ETFs all feel the stress. And the ECB warns that the more severe scenario is not only an equity correction, but a correction that coincides with broader market instability that central banks would struggle to calm. Redditors in the economics and Europe communities saw the numbers and reacted the way you'd expect. A lot of anxiety about pensions and a lot of, why is my ETF basically a US tech bet? Some commenters pointed to the obvious policy puzzle. How do you protect households whose retirement savings are effectively a bet on a handful of firms while still letting markets price risk? Others pushed back, noting that these companies do show real earnings growth tied to AI products, so the correction story is not a given. Both views matter. History shows transformative tech often produces big swings before generating long-run gains. Think railways, electrification, the internet. And that path can be bumpy and destructive if the bumps line up with weak policy buffers.
So what should listeners practically do? First, ask your pension manager or advisor two concrete questions. What percentage of your portfolio is concentrated in a handful of tech names? And how would the fund cope with a 30 to 40% drop in those holdings? Second, consider diversification beyond equity indices, shorter duration bonds, alternative assets, or international equities that aren't so skewed to the same winners can blunt a concentrated drawdown. Finally, beware the easy social media takes. Diversification costs something in expected return, but volatility and the risk of permanent loss matter more when your horizon is retirement income, not growth charts. There's a bigger policy angle, too. The ECB's note is essentially a call for systemic prudence. Regulators should be watching non-bank linkages, stress-testing funds that could be forced sellers, and considering whether liquidity buffers and pension products need strengthening. It's worth remembering that the ECB isn't predicting a crash. It's reminding us that this rally has a new feature, AI hype, and a new vulnerability, concentrated household exposure, and that the policy toolkit is more constrained than in previous cycles. If anything, treat this as an argument for smarter household behavior and for policymakers to rehearse contingencies now rather than after the first big repricing.
If that sounds like finance, the Pentagon story across the table is the security version of the same problem. Vulnerability exposed during a shock forces a rethink of posture and resilience. According to a Washington Post report, Pentagon planners are considering a substantial reconfiguration of the U.S. military footprint in the Persian Gulf after the conflict with Iran revealed how shaky fixed bases are in the face of mass missile and drone strikes. Officials told the paper they are evaluating whether to reduce static basing and instead move to a lighter, more dispersed posture that emphasizes sea and air power. Basically, fewer large, easily targeted installations and more mobile, harder-to-hit forces. Why that matters now? The Gulf of 20 years ago, large camps, big logistics hubs, worked when threats were different. The Iran war showed how quickly missile and drone salvos can make fixed infrastructure a liability. The Pentagon's planners aren't deciding on a timetable yet. They're weighing the trade-offs. A lighter footprint buys survivability and reduces lucrative targets, but it also changes the political signal to Gulf partners who rely on visible U.S. commitments for deterrence. The Council on Foreign Relations neatly framed the tension. The protection of U.S. flagged and U.S. operated vessels is the threshold concern. Keeping shipping safe through the Strait of Hormuz is the non-negotiable baseline.
There are practical options on the table. More rotational deployments rather than forward-based brigades, and increased reliance on allied and host nation capacity, pre-positioned supplies afloat, and a heavier tilt to naval air power and missile defenses that can move with the fleet. Each option brings costs. Rotational forces are politically and logistically demanding. They strain host nation relations if partners expect permanent bases, and a sea heavy posture still depends on secure choke points and robust logistics. Gulf partners, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Bahrain, will push back if they feel the U.S. is thinning its presence without credible local substitutes. On the Reddit threads, reactions mirrored those policy trade-offs. Some commenters welcomed the move as a sensible modernization that reduces targets for Iranian strike doctrine. Others worried a visible drawdown would be interpreted as retreat and embolden Tehran or destabilize Gulf security. Those are legitimate anxieties. What the Post's reporting suggests is that this is not a binary choice between stay and leave, but a search for a smart balance. Preserve deterrence and freedom of navigation while reducing predictable, high-value targets that invite escalatory strikes. Connecting the two deep threads, finance and force posture, there's a shared theme. Systems that worked in one era are under stress from a new set of risks, and the response is often messy. For finance, the known good was broad passive indexing that reliably grew household wealth. That's now concentrated around a few companies that benefit from AI. For security, the known good was permanent bases that promised reassurance, now they are attractive targets. In both cases, resilience means diversification of assets in finance, a force posture in security, and also realistic assessments of the new operating environment.
So what's likely to happen?
In finance, expect regulators and large asset managers to accelerate scenario planning and stress tests. In the short term, volatility will rise, and fund managers will tout diversification. In the Gulf, expect incremental changes first, more sea and air deployments, investments in partner capabilities, and new concepts for pre-positioned logistics. Don't expect a headline withdrawal tomorrow, but do expect posture and procurement conversations to tilt toward mobility, redundancy, and deception to complicate an adversary's targeting. Both stories land back on a simple question every listener can use.
Are the systems you rely on, a pension, a local housing market, or a security guarantee, concentrated in a way that amplifies risk if the unexpected happens? That's the diagnostic that should animate household choices and public policy in the months ahead. Ask your pension manager one concrete question this week. How much of my retirement portfolio is effectively a bet on a handful of superstar tech firms? And what's the plan if those prices correct 30%? I'm Alex Morgan. Debug the hype.